You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your host, myself, Mark Borscht.
And George Papazov. I was waiting for the cue. Just like markets, I'm ready to respond to anything, though.
There it is. In today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be discussing why the trend is not always your friend when it comes to trading.
What? But Mark,
have I been lied to?
Maybe.
Have you been lied to? Now, you know, we're approaching this with a sense of humor, but, you know, that statement can be seen as a bit controversial because if you look online, if you Google trading, a majority of trading education is adamant. That might be a little bit too loud, is adamant.
Well, we just did a sound check, 2-in-1.
That's it. It's adamant about the fact that trading with the trend is your best chance of success in this industry. Now, there might be a little bit of truth to that, but in this episode, we're going to be breaking down, you know, what a trend is, how to identify a trend, and when the trend is your friend and when the trend is not your friend.
Love this.
Interesting times. Now, before we get into that, we've got an exciting new segment here. What we're going to be doing is we are going to be shouting out the reviews that you guys leave us because we love these reviews. A lot of what we do in this podcast is driven by the reviews, the feedback, and the comments that you guys provide to us because at the end of the day, this podcast is by us for you.
No offense to you or anything, Marky, but this is my favorite part of the podcast.
Perfect. Perfect. And so, LN Bobby, you are going to be happy to know that we are shouting you out today.
Shout out.
Shout out to LN Bobby for this great review titled Hidden Gem High Quality. And the review goes as such. This is such a great resource for new traders and more experienced ones as well. George and Mark go in-depth with their topics, and where they've done a tremendous job is shining a light on trading psychology in a way you'll rarely find elsewhere. I've listened to some episodes multiple times. They are both so genuine and open as well. Really a great listen. Thanks for the great work, fellas. Thank you, LN Bobby.
Thank you, LN. Really appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for the comments. We do this for you, and I'm happy you spoke out. Love to hear that kind of feedback. It's fuel to our rocket ship, Mark and I.
Exactly. And now if you guys want to have a shout out featured on an episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast, all you got to do, head on over to iTunes, drop a rating and review, and we'll make sure to shout you out. You might be the next one on the next episode. Who knows?
Who knows? But before we begin, just a quick little message here. I just want to share this with you guys. In this episode, we're going to be talking about why the trend is not your friend. While it's a controversial topic, how do you then uncover these trading opportunities if you can't even rely on a trend? Everything you knew just got shaken to the core and flipped upside down. Well, the key is to trade with people who have seen enough trends to know when they fail, when they extend, when they're your friend, and when they're to be avoided. And the way to do that is to join a community or a group of professional traders willing to share their knowledge who trade live on a daily basis. We are one of those such communities. Check us out at www.tradeproacademy.com and join a group of traders, not just me, Mark, Sarah, and Victorio, but a whole community of other traders who have walked your previous journey or the journey that you're going to be on, and imagine the benefit of having a buddy that you could chat to support you through your unique development curve. We'll see you in our community. Once again, www.tradeproacademy.com. And now,
back to the show.
Back to the show.
Back to the show. So, let's discuss trends, shall we?
They're not your friend, Mark.
That's the end of the episode. Yeah. There you go, guys.
Roll the outro.
Roll the outro. In all seriousness, guys, what is a trend and how to identify it? I think before we discuss why the trend is not always your friend, it's important to identify what a trend is first and foremost, and you know some of the different means of identifying trends. Because you know we're going to be breaking down the times where the trend is not really your friend and the times when it can be your friend. And really, this comes with experience, all right? And to be quite honest with you guys, I really learned this you know, the concept of why the trend is not your friend from one of our great friends here at Trade Pro Academy. His name is Anthony Drager.
You know, shout out to Drager.
Shout out to Drager.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the legend. And, you know, he kind of, not to say he put me on the idea, but having heard it from him, you know, it really kind of gave me a little bit of a shift in mindset. And I thought it was a really, really cool way to help newer traders identify the fact that while trends can be beneficial for trading, there is a certain time and place to utilize them. All right. So first and foremost, what is a trend? Just Googled trend real quick. How do you define a trend? And so the general term for a trend is a general direction into which something is changing, developing, or veering towards. Now, as it relates to trading, how do you identify a trend? Now, there's a number of different ways to identify a trend, at least from a technical perspective. All right. The majority, if not, I'd say all traders will identify a trend with market structure. All right. And so what is market structure? Market structure is simply the way the market ebbs and flows. And oftentimes what will define a bullish trend or a period where the market is trading higher, all right, is higher highs and higher lows. All right, markets making higher highs and higher lows. That is generally the definition of a trend for a majority of traders that use price action and technical analysis. The opposite side of that coin being a downtrend or a bear trend, which is characterized by lower lows and lower highs. Now, sure, you can use certain indicators, you know, 50 moving average being above the 200 day moving average, that can indicate a bull trend. Similarly, as a 50 day moving average being below the 200 day moving average, that can identify a bear trend. All right. Now we know what a trend is and how we generally identify it. Let's kind of break down when the trend can be your friend, when it can't be your friend, and where this, you know, where this analogy or saying kind of came from. All right, so the old saying in the financial markets is that the trend is your friend. And like we said, it kind of refers to the fact that if you follow along with the trend, it's going to give you the best chances of success in this industry. Now, the interesting thing is that the trend isn't always your friend. And the reason why it's not always your friend is generally because if you look at a chart and you can clearly identify a trend, you know, that is based on the past.
It's too late.
That's based on the past, all right? And that's really the problem with, you know, with the saying that the trend is your friend, is because you can never know what the current trend is. You can only really know what the trend was during some prior period. And while it's great to look at, you know, prior price action and see it might have been bullish, you might identify the fact that, all right, the market is trading bullish, I'm only going to be looking for bull trades. All right. Whereas in reality, you might not, it might be a little bit late to start looking for bull trades. All right. And so just because you can identify a trend based on the charts doesn't mean that it's going to continue. You know, what happens if the trend bends?
Then it's not your friend. If the trend bends, it's not your friend.
If the trend bends, don't pretend. It's not your friend. Exactly. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm going to argue against the trend being your friend is that I believe it gives traders, especially newer traders, sort of a false sense of confidence.
Right.
All right. And the reason why I say that is because if you truly believe that the trend is your friend and you're only looking for trades in the direction of the trend, then, you know, you might be getting in a little bit late.
Right.
Trends have certain cycles. All right. Really, the market has certain cycles. It ebbs and flows. Now, trends in and of themselves, there can be a number of different types of trends, all right? And so you got to be able to identify what kind of trend you're in. You know, you've got healthy trends, which are generally the ones you see in textbook examples. You know, the clean breakouts above prior resistance, it comes back down, tests that resistance as support to the tick, continues on like a stair stepper. You know, those are healthy trends. And the reality is you don't see those very often. Very, very seldom do you see them, but those are the trends that you learn about trading in the textbooks.
Exactly. All right?
The reality is that trends are not always going to be healthy. Trends can be, you know, it can still be trending, but it can be a sloppy, you know, sloppy trend higher. What do I mean by that? Well, the market might still be making higher highs and higher lows, but it could be the case where every time the market breaks above a new high, in the case of a bull trend, it might make a deep pullback.
Right.
All right. So if you consider something like Fibonacci's, which are just basically retracement levels, you know, healthy trends generally wouldn't pull back more than, you know, 50% of the impulse. All right. Impulse meaning the low of the move to the high of the move, not pulling back more than 50% generally indicates a healthy trend. In the weaker or sloppier kind of trends, you might get a new high being formed, and then the market pulls back deeper than 50%. It might almost retrace the whole move. All right. And so what do you do in that case? How do you know that the trend is still on? How do you know that, you know, the position that you're looking to take is alongside the trend? Is it really your friend at that point if it's giving you so much confusion?
Well, Marky, you know, this is fascinating episode. Shout outs again to Dregger for, you know, first of all, introducing us to that nugget. You guys could check him out at edgetradinggroup.com. He's one guy I have no hesitation shouting out and referring to because he keeps it real in the business. Awesome trader as well. But nonetheless, it's our podcast, Dregger, so we must carry on. We must appropriate your idea and flush it out. The cool thing about the trend as your friend, Mark, is that the thing is, what trend? It's oversimplifying it, right? There's a trend within a trend. It's like Inception, the dream within a dream. There's a day trend. There's a weekly trend. There's a daily trend. There's a monthly. There's a yearly. There's a, and if you look at this, it's kind of like the Elliott Wave idea of cycles. Not that I love Elliott Wave, but I love the idea that they're called certain things. There's a cycle, a super cycle, grand super cycle, where like your life is only a tick of that
grand wizard cycle.
Yeah, the grand wizard super de duper cycle. Okay, Elliot, I get it, Elliot. There's a lot of trends, and it's an oversimplification to just say the trend is your friend. I'm going to get long. And people who oversimplify it are people who, you know, sometimes are missing a lot of the information. The thing with the trend is, like Mark said, by the time you spot it, you've often missed the opportunity. So it's fun to look in hindsight and say, oh, hey, look, bullish trend. But it doesn't really give you an edge on the hard right side of the chart where the price action is happening now. It gives you clues. It gives you hints, you know, but it isn't like a fast and hard rule. It isn't a trading plan on its own. It's the oversimplification. Here's why. By the time you see the trend, it's probably too late. You aren't trading the trend. You are forming the trend. Mm. You are the damn trend that is going to be created. So there, it takes a little bit of foresight and the ability to catch where the pullback is going to be. Like Mark mentioned, there's an impulse wave and a pullback is generally 50%, which is a drop from the high to where the low is going to be for the continuation back up. But it's just as important being able to identify that transition moment, right? To almost not really know, not focus on when to get in at the low, but focus on the move before that when the selling is getting quiet, when it's weakening, because that's on the cusp of the prime opportunity. By the time it turns and goes and you convince yourself to get long because it's up 30 points already, I'm already taking profit, right? I'm selling it to you. The trend is your friend, but by the time you identify it and you're buying it, I'm selling you the position because to me now it's high risk because everyone else is seeing it. So I kind of just wanted to flip that from a professional perspective where, you know, it's highly simplifying what we do to just say the trend is your friend, ride it. Oftentimes, especially in the futures market, by the time you get on the trend, you start to see the supply coming in, selling it to you. Because, hey, the professional trader knows at these points there's going to be an inflow of retail buyers. If I have a big position to dump, let's establish the trend as your friend. And when they're looking for friends, I'm going to sell them some swampland and offload it on them. By the way, this concept of your friend, you know, this is an analogy to a personal relationship. Think of it this way. What are friends? People you've known from the beginning, people you've grown with. Just because somebody else is your friend's friend, they don't automatically become your best friend. It's a brand new relationship.
Wow. That was very insightful. You know, what I enjoy about what you brought up there was the fact that...
I saw a borderline yawn, Marky. This is the second episode that we got going. I don't blame you. You've been hearing me ranting for a long time.
No, what I wanted to get at here was, you know, building on what you mentioned as it relates to how do you know what the trend is, right? Because it's a great point to bring up because there's, you know, the markets are fractal, all right? There's no two ways about it. Markets are fractal. If you're not familiar with what fractal means, it just simply means the market does the same kind of patterns And these can be seen on different time frames. All right. The same patterns that you would see on a monthly chart, you'll also see on a 1 minute chart. It just takes, you know, in the case of a monthly chart, it takes longer for those patterns to resolve, whereas the shorter time frames are generally faster. But the confusion can kind of lay here is if you're doing multiple time frame analysis, for example, right, your weekly trend might be bearish, your daily trend might be bullish, and your intraday trend might be bearish. So which one do I take?
Right? All of them.
All of them, right? And so in these kinds of instances, you know, the trend doesn't necessarily become your friend because you don't really know which one to take.
Right.
Right. You could be looking at the 1 hour chart and then seeing a daily or a bearish trend on the daily chart. And on the 1 hour chart, you might be seeing a bullish trend.
It's like three friends in front of you, but two of them are trying to kill you.
Exactly.
So how do you choose?
How do you choose? Right. And so this is kind of what we mean by it's a little bit of a misconception, or it's an oversimplification. I think that's a better word, that the trend is your friend, right? You're going to need to establish certain criteria. And oftentimes, you know, the trend is your friend when you can catch the early stages of it. All right. Like Georgie mentioned, if you think about how institutions, you know, how banks trade, they often use retail as liquidity to fill their positions. All right. And so going back to the example of, you know, of your friend being somebody that you've kind of grown up with, right? Kind of similar to a trend. If you've been with that trend from the beginning, it's likely a friend. But if you're just meeting this person, is it really a friend? Right. Yeah. And it's kind of relating it back to looking at the charts and seeing a clear trend in hindsight and taking, you know, your looking at the hard right edge and taking trades on that based off of the context, based of what you've seen. Now, the thing about this is that you need to have a good understanding of how the markets ebb and flow. All right. And trends will often have, I'd say, two or three moves where the trend has impulse moves, meaning it makes a new high or a new low before it pulls back, consolidates, and then continues on to make a new higher low. I'd say a general rule of thumb is after three impulse moves higher, you know, three impulse moves higher or three impulse moves lower, that trend is likely to start to slow down and might even reverse. Now, you don't want to be trying to anticipate the reversals, all right? Trying to anticipate reversals is almost like getting long, you know, Bitcoin at where it was like 65K just because you've seen it climb up from 25K or something like that. All right. You don't want to be getting in just because you see a trend. You want to be getting in when that trend changes. And so how can you identify something like that? Well, earlier on, we mentioned most people identify trades using market structure, right? And so if you're looking at something like a big level, for example, on the weekly chart, you might have a bearish trend. All right. If you go down to a daily chart, you might see a bullish trend, but it's coming into a level where there was prior selling, a supply level. All right. And then maybe on the daily chart, you see a big bearish candle form. All right. Big bearish candle form. On the daily chart, that might just look like a pullback. All right. But on the weekly time frame, you are at a level of selling, a level of supply. And on the daily, you're seeing a reaction from that higher time frame level. All right. Make things even more complicated. Now that you've got a big reversal on the daily chart, now you look at the intraday charts and you can see that we are no longer making higher highs and higher lows, but in fact, we've now made a new structure shift, all right? Instead of making higher highs and higher lows, we've now made a new high followed by a new low, all right? And this is what we consider to be a market structure shift. Now, you're not trying to anticipate something like this. You're gonna trade it the way that you see it, all right?
And yep.
This goes back to last week's episode on why you should trade what you see, not what you want to happen, because you might be seeing this and saying, you know what, this trend might be a little overextended. I think it's time for it to go down and start a new bearish trend. When in reality, what you gotta do is just wait to see for the market to confirm that thesis, all right? And so the easiest way to make the trend your friend is to get on early. And what we mean by early is market structure shifts, all right? when the market has been making higher highs and higher lows, the thing that's going to signal a potential shift in trend is when the market doesn't do what it's been doing, all right? That is effectively what a reversal is, and starts a new trend.
Love it, Marky. I've been taking notes, so I'm going to dump on you right now.
Love it.
Some nuggets. I love that discussion you're having, Mark. And the biggest thing you mentioned about not anticipating, I think there's an erroneous assumption here that you have, if you're getting on board early on the trend, you have to spot the reversal. Mm. But there's a moment that, you know, after the reversal is still low risk. So think about the falling knife analogy, right? Trying to catch a falling knife. Somebody throws a knife off the seventh floor of a balcony and pitches it down. You're not going to sit on the ground with your arms and the head up like, I'm going to get this. How do you catch a falling knife? GTFO, get out of the way. Let that thing hit the ground. Stop dropping. It'll bounce once or twice. You're out of danger. Now you pick it up and it's a tool. Same thing with the market, right? And how to get on board early so you could profit on the trend and not be getting in after the trend's already moved is let it bottom out. And there's specific patterns and order flow here is helpful. Let it bottom out, then pick up the trend, and then that's your highest opportunity window. You know, a falling knife becomes a tool for you, for defense, for whatever you need it. All right. The other thing I wanted to mention here, Mark, is you know what I really don't like about the saying the trend is your friend?
What's that?
Every single time that you trade, let's say you buy one contract, one share of Apple, whatever, somebody's selling it to you, right? So there's a counterparty to every trade that you make. That person's trying to take your money. What about that is friendly? You know what I'm saying? I think we forget that this market isn't a context of like kumbaya and joy and happiness, everyone hugging each other, you know, going hugging trees, going all vegan with your diet. That's great. It's fantastic, you know, for a lifestyle. There's benefits to all of that. But in the market, this is war. This is battle. There's no friends. All right. We trade together on a team. But when we get into the market, we are effectively trading against one another as well. If you're long and I'm short, you know, even though we're on the same team, we're taking counter trend positions or we're taking positions with a counterparty. And so that's the thing is there are no friends. And when it looks friendly, that's the highest risk. That's what I wanted to mention to you here. Every trade you do, somebody's trying to take your money and you're trying to take theirs. And so I think staying in that mindset that, hey, this isn't friendly. This is competitive. This is a sport. This is about winning is important, right? Just calling it the trend is your friend assumes it's just too bubbly. It's like, you know, just get on board. Yeah, it's great. We could all win. And the reality is you can't. And you have to remember that. And this also is relates back to the fact that when you get in a trade, it should still feel risky, right? Yeah. You're not looking to get into a trade that you think is risk-free. You're looking to get into a position that has low risk, has identifiable, measurable risk that you're comfortable taking, but at no point does it feel risk-free. There hasn't been a trade I've taken that I kicked back my feet and said, this is definitely going to work out. There's ones I'm like, hey, these could work out. I'm in a good area. I'm going to give it a shot, but you never know. And so this is what I wanted to mention. It's not really that friendly. And on the institutional aspect, get this. Trend is your friend, you think, right? How friendly does this sound? If you got a million shares that you want to sell or a million contracts of the S&P, a million quantity, all right, and you have a bunch of retailers trading five lots, you need 200,000 of them to eat up your order. And so that's why when everybody starts buying, the trend is effectively over. So by the time you classify it as a trend is your friend, long opportunity, this is where institutionals licking chops and looking to offload some supply on your head. And it happens time in and time again. You could actually see it in real time on order flow. What does that look like? Market goes up 10 points. You see strong buying, hits a resistance level, boom, comes back down a couple points. Goes back up, you see, boom, another bid being hit, more offers coming in. You're seeing institutional move in on this trend as your friend idea to dump it to you, and then you buy it right as they run your stop and work it back up. So this is what I wanted to mention on this. It's like the trend as your friend is really good at the beginning when you're starting out, really good. And the thing I like about it, Mark, is that it teaches you market structure.
Yeah.
Because market structure is important, but it isn't enough. So I don't know if, you know, these notes were as groundbreaking as I thought, but
definitely as groundbreaking.
I like to look you deep in the eyes when I'm airing these concepts out. And I'm like, if Mark gets impressed, I've done a good job. He's been in the business a long time.
No, that was perfect. That was great. And, you know, the other thing I kind of wanted to add as far as, you know, identifying that moment, you know, it's all about the moment, right? And so you don't want to be catching the reversal of it. You know, when you think about trends, you know, instead of thinking about the trend being your friend, just kind of think of it as if I can identify the moment at which the trend is going to shift, instead of trying to catch the top, you know, top tick down to the bottom tick, think of it like a pineapple.
Ooh.
All right. Think of it like juicy. A pineapple. Exactly.
Juicy. I love pineapples.
You just want to get the juicy core of that pineapple. All right. You chop the bottom, you chop the top, and you're not trying to run the whole thing. You're just trying to catch the meat of the move. And the trend is your friend when you're on board early enough that you have missed that riskiest part of it, which is trying to time the reversal, which is, you know, trying to eat the pineapple by starting with, you know, those...
Eat the top and bottom.
Yeah, eat the top and the bottom, right? You don't want to be eating those. You want to be getting to the juicy core, right? And so this is how you can go about doing such, right? So we've already identified the fact that bull trends are characterized by higher highs, higher lows, bear trends, the opposite, lower lows, lower highs. The lowest risk, highest probability times to look to jump in on a new trend is when, like I mentioned, when what's been happening previously has now shifted. All right. So in the context of a bull trend, all right, when you're getting a bull trend, you're getting higher highs and higher lows. For that market to stop trending higher and go into a period of consolidation and or a reversal back to a new bearish trend, what's got to have to happen is the market is no longer going to make new highs. All right. So we've made a new high. From that new high, you want to see a bit of a pullback. All right. On the retest of that prior top, you want to see a failure. All right. And so this is generally how you can go about timing these kinds of situations, these kind of opportunities, is wait for the market to make a new high and then pull off of those highs and then wait for the market to bounce. All right. Wait for the market to bounce. And if it cannot get back above that prior top and then it rolls over that new low that it created on the pullback, you've now got a market structure shift. All right. The market has made a high, pulled back, made a lower high, and now it's broken below that low structure. And so you're starting to see the early signs of a trend reversal. All right. Same thing with the downside. If the market's making lower lows, lower highs, once it makes a new low, pulls back to create a lower high, and then fails to make a new lower low and makes instead a higher low, and then it breaks back above that prior higher low, at that point, you've now got what is likely to be the early signs of a trend reversal. And when you can get on board pullbacks after seeing that kind of action, that is when the trend is likely to be your friend. Because what you want to catch, like we said, is that expansion phase of the trend. You know, there's different, it's known by different names. You know, if you follow Wyckoff, that's called the markup period or the markdown period in the case of bearish price action. You know, standard technical analysis, it's just expansion. All right. Love the market it. Expands and you want to be part of that expansion, but you want to avoid the riskiest part of that, which is trying to time the reversal. So doing it this way will mean you're not getting in on the low or the high, but what it will mean is that you're getting in at a low risk entry with a high probability, with the likelihood that the trend is your friend. And you can kind of liken this to being on a sailboat. All right, being on a sailboat and there's, you know, the wind is gusting and now you're opening up, I'm not a sailor as you guys can tell, opening up one of the sails and just let the wind push you forward. All right, that's effectively what you're trying to do. So that's kind of what I got on this topic, to be honest. You know, the trend is not always your friend. There are very select times where it is your friend. And what you guys want to do, you know, especially if you're newer traders, is, you know, focus on trends, but try to focus on capturing the early parts of the trend. If you've already seen, you know, the impulse move and a pullback, if you've already seen three waves of that, it's probably the later end of the trend. And what you want to be waiting for, like I mentioned here, is that first higher low or that first lower high that's then followed by a new lower low or a new higher high, at which point now you can start looking to qualify these kinds of positions, jumping in on it and taking advantage of the trend.
Love it, Marky. a lot of insight. I'm going to throw in a gem here as well on my part, and then this is all I got on the topic also. Shorter episode, but here's the thing with the trend being your friend. You look at a trend, and if I think it sets false expectations, right? When you could read a trend, what do, Mark? You look from the low of the move to the high, and you say, well, this is 30 points, for example.
Yeah.
And I think now the expectation is that you got to capture 30 points, right? Where the pineapple says you don't need to make 30 points. You could make less with a higher probability and get paid quicker. Let me give you an example. If you catch 30 points on a single lot of the S&P 500 or $30 on a single share if you're trading shares, is it not the same as catching 3 points on 10 shares or 10 lots? At the end of the day, you're catching 30 points. People are so afraid to size up their trading because they think they're risking more, but they're out there waiting for 30 points. It's hard enough to predict the next 5 points, let alone 30, right? Mm-hmm. So what I tell people here is looking for 30 points on small size is ego. That's ego. You're trying to be right. If you're trying to catch these big outsized moves, you're trying to be right. Looking for 3 points, a small amount on larger size is where the skill is at. You just want to get paid small on large position and have the ability to run it, but not the necessity to run it. I'll tell you why. There hasn't been a single time in my career where I've made 30 points where I haven't made three first or four or five, six, right? If you're out there waiting for 3 points, you got to get 27 more than me to get paid, and I'm still making the same amount of money as you on just 3 points. What do you think is easier to catch, 3 points or 30? The point I'm trying to make here is that the problem isn't the trend. The problem is you're not getting paid early enough and you're not getting in when it's risky still, where you don't know if it's going to be a trend continuation. You're trying to catch that top. And the idea here is let it bottom out, like Mark said, the Wyckoff pattern or the double bottom or a higher low, which is if you picture a W as you're driving in your mind's eye or listening to this, the right side of the W is slightly higher than the left side.
Yeah.
That's showing that selling is slowing down and buyers are starting to pick up the demand higher at a higher price or supporting a potential run up. And so when you see that, it's still risky to get long, but you only need 3 points. And there's a high likelihood you're going to get those 3 points even if it does dump. This is how I could put size on because I'm not going for these home runs. I'm trying to get on base. If I get on first base, I look at the play, I'll try to get on second base, third and fourth. But I'm not only scoring points when I'm hitting home runs. I'm scoring points every single time I get on base. So if you're not going to get paid when you have a profit, when will you get paid? I love asking people that question. It tends to flip their mentality and, you know, look to capture smaller amounts of the trend at the beginning of your career instead of looking for the whole trend. Because every time you capture a small piece, you get paid and you still see what the market's going to do. So you're getting paid to learn. So get paid for smaller moves. And eventually by watching these patterns over and over a couple hundred days, when you build your career more, a couple thousand at one point, hopefully you have the ability to do 10,000 days of trading. In your career, the more you watch it, the more you're going to be able to take bigger profits. But start at the beginning, catching it once it bottoms out, catching it on a decent size, not too much for your skill level, but getting paid quicker and watch the difference that's going to make your bottom line. Literally, that's the biggest tip I could give you on this topic. The trend is not your friend. You still want to get in when there's risk. The job isn't to predict where it's going to go. The job's just take a little piece or a little cut of the trend and then have the ability to run some, not on full size. Always get paid initially, and then whatever the market does, you're at the mercy of it. You know, that's just my tip for you there on this topic. I think it's a great one, and even though I think it rhymes, the trend is your friend. We love these little meme-y, rhymey things in life.
Very Dr. Seussian.
Exactly, yeah. And Dr. Seuss got canceled, so you don't want to, you know, do something that got canceled. So the trend is your friend. I agree, structure-wise. You know, follow the structure. That's your guiding light. But don't have expectations on market structure. Still focus on the real time. Focus on order flow. Catch a couple points at a time. Before you know it, you're going to learn how to run 3 points to four, four to five, five to six. And by the time you're getting 30 points, you know, you're not going to need any help. You got this. I love you guys. That's my piece on it. Fun episode to record, actually.
Yeah, that was really fun. And really the only thing I have to add to that is, you know, if you kind of wait for it to bottom out or for it to top out and then show you the signs of the reversal or a start of a new trend with a structure shift, that right there is basically your lowest risk opportunity to kind of jump in. Yes. On the trend, right? And I think that's something super important to note because structure is important, but like we said, if you can identify a clean trend, it might be a little bit too late. And the way that I see it, and this is just my own, you know, my own strategy and I guess my own opinion on it, but for me, I have the highest amount of conviction when I see that happen. You know, if a trend's been trending, for me, it's a little bit tougher to pick up locations to catch on pullbacks. But if I'm watching a trend unfold and I see that structure shift and I see that lower high and I see that new lower low, to me, that is the highest probability moment where I have the most conviction to put on, you know, like Georgie said, to put on size. Right? Because if the market's trending and I didn't catch it where that higher low or that lower high was formed, I'm not saying you got to catch the high or the low, but even after that, you know, there is, it's like an anchor, if you will. It's like a line in the sand. And the way that I see it and the way that it's easy for me, not easy, but it's easier for me to qualify it when it starts to shift in that sense is because I know exactly what should happen there. Right. And I know that if we get above a certain level, it's easier to define my risk and it's easier to know where to cut my risk if I'm wrong. Right. If the market gives me the setup and then it just continues on in the direction of the trend, all good. Right. But it's worth a shot for me. And that is what's important to me is having the conviction in putting on size. Because like Georgie said, you can either try to catch 30 points on one lot or catch 3 points on 10 lots, right? And so you'll note from a lot of professional traders, we don't go for home runs. We look for small, consistent, repeatable trends and patterns we can take advantage of that we can size up on. And that's really all it is at the end of the day. You know, the trend is not always your friend, but if you catch it at the right time, it just might be your best friend.
Oh, love it. There's no better way to finish than that. Scale out, not up, is all I'm going to say. And, you know, Mark, me, the Trade Pro community, we're your friends. And like Mark said, the trend is not. So I'm going to flip the script here on Marky a little bit and say that's it for today's show. That's all for today's episode, Trade Pros. Thank you for listening. If you could think of one person in particular who would find today's message really helpful on their trading journey, please share this episode with them. Also, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We read each one and we feature one at the beginning of every episode. We'd love to feature yours next. Until next time, everyone, good luck
and good trading.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.